Welcome to Curating the Curious, the podcast that celebrates staying curious in life and never settling into a box. Hosted by former elementary teacher, television actress, LA realtor, wine slinger, salesperson, waitress, family photographer, and forever student of life, me, Leanna Azzolini. For those of you who may not be familiar with the way that I normally structure the interviews, what I normally do is kind of like introduce somebody, then we talk about a book that they would recommend everyone to read and their favorite quote. And then at the end, I ask them, what does living a life of curiosity mean to you? I've already done a compilation episode of all the quotes and all of the curiosity thoughts, but I never did one on the books, and I just realized this. So that's what I have for you today. It's so, so interesting to hear everybody's ideas and what their books are. I feel like a lot of people come into this thinking, oh my gosh, she's expecting me to recommend a certain type of book, and I'm not. I really like hearing all of the different ideas that people have, and I think you will too. I had to put it in a compilation because it's so cool to hear what people think about these things, how they've changed their lives, and it's just, I think these compilation episodes are so awesome. I don't know if anybody agrees, but I happen to love them, so I'll keep doing them. It kind of had to be done at this point because I'm getting ready to start interviewing again, hopefully within the next month. So I've got to kind of wrap up the ones I've done so far and move on to the next phase of things. And another thing I wanted to talk about, did anybody hear on We Can Do Hard Things, them talking about Tawanda? Fried green tomatoes. Oh my gosh. I totally forgot about that. It's been so many years, and I wish I had known about Tawanda when I was doing my last episode explaining to you what the heck happened to me this year when I just, you know, when I recorded that episode in March and was just like, here it is, folks. I was super mid Tawanda right there. I'm kind of like working through my Tawanda-ing, but I'm definitely still Tawanda-ing at least a few times a month. I mean, not, you know, all the time like I was before, but there's some Tawanda happening right now for sure. So it's really good to have a name for it and even like have a way to laugh at it, which, you know, we already were, but now every time I'm getting angry about something, I'm like, Tawanda, which then gives us a way to kind of laugh about stuff a little bit more, you know, instead of making it all so serious, which is great. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google Tawanda from the movie Fried Green Tomatoes and watch the scene where she hasn't yet Tawanda'd, and then the scene where she decides to start Tawanda-ing in the parking lot, and you'll totally get it. It'll probably resonate with a lot of you. That's my guess. But aside from all that, I am just here in my post-summer blues. I'm really, really sad that summer's over. You know, there's a huge part of me that just loves going back and getting into some sort of a routine so I can get things like this done and, you know, work on stuff. But if I could just live in summer, not all year long, but most of the year, I would choose that, really. That's where I thrive, summer. So I've got post-summer blues big time, but I'm adjusting now and really excited to get back to this. This is one of the things that I've really been missing, and I'm only going to commit to 2 episodes per month. If I do more, that will be icing on the cake, but I don't know. I mean, I've been away for so long. I got to get back into the groove. So I'm here, getting over my post-summer blues, and I really hope you guys like this episode. I think it is fascinating, personally. So hopefully some people agree. I love re-listening to all of these things and hearing what everybody has to say. Me, I love re-listening to it. So I hope you do too. And you get some really cool ideas of books. I've pretty much bought every one that everyone has talked about if I didn't already have it. And it's just fascinating. I'm never going to take this part out of the episode because I love knowing what people think about books. Even if you haven't read a book in 20 years, like what was the one that impacted you? So here we go, starting off with our first guest, Laura Aziz.
The book that came to me straight away was a book that I kind of feel like this about all books, that books find you when they're ready to be read by you.
Yep.
I feel like this just happens all the time to me. You know, you could pick up a book and you're like, nah, I can kind of see, but nah. And then you'll maybe come back to it like years later and you're like, oh, this book changed my life. Yep. Why did I never realize that before?
Yeah.
So I feel like this is the book you should buy, put it on your shelf, and when it's ready to be read, it will tell you, because it's quite specific. Mm. And it's called Anamkara, Spiritual Wisdom from the Celtic World. And it's by an Irish poet called John O'Donoghue.
Mm.
It's kind of, the best way I can sum this book up is that it's about the inner worlds that we all carry, whether you call it like your soul or your spirit, just that kind of very deep inner part of us, and how that affects our relationships to everything. So our relationship to self, relationship to others, to the world, to work, creativity. It's just, I mean, he's a poet. So obviously I picked it up because I knew I was going to talk about it. Nearly every page I've like underlined something three times because, you know, it's just, I feel like I could read you any piece out of context, but you'd still get so much from it.
Oh, wow.
He has so much wisdom, and he can just kind of get to the real core of things. Like, I'm not doing it any justice. It's just a really beautiful book. And I think it's one of those books, like I kind of joked when I first read it, like, oh, it's my Bible. Like, it's the kind of book that will see you through so many stages of life.
Wow.
So buy it, put it on your shelf, and wait.
And Susie J. Goldsmith.
You might think that I would say Big Magic because I do love that book. That would be one of my top three. But I think that the book that everybody has to read for the sake of their souls is Wild by Cheryl Strayed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, man.
It's just, I mean, that it really changed a lot for me because I didn't read it. I mean, I was late to the party. I didn't read it until after my second TFMR, which, as you know from reading the book, was at the end of 2018. So I probably started reading Wild, you know, in kind of February maybe of 2019. And I suddenly felt so seen in terms of my grief, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though, I mean, that book, it just shines a light on how ill-equipped we are at dealing with the topic of grief. And it just, you know, it kind of, I mean, it's this story of, you know, needing to sometimes venture off the, you know, the well-trodden track in order to kind of find our way home.
David Duchemin.
I was going to say, it's not really a classy move to put your own book in the list. I actually found this question really hard to answer. And so I've got a couple answers. The first answer is the book that I think everyone should read is the book that challenges your existing beliefs, doesn't just support the things you already think and believe, but something that pulls you in a completely different direction. And maybe it's just, you know, if the theme of your podcast is curiosity, follow that curiosity. I'm reading a book right now called Entangled Life. And it's by a guy whose name is Merlin Sheldrake, I think. And the name alone, he should be teaching at Hogwarts or something. And it's a book about fungi and the networks between fungi and how they affect life on Earth and our brains. And I've got to tell you, I'm not remotely interested in fungi. I'm not, you know, it's not an area that I kind of read in my spare time. But it was a book that I saw the title, I saw the cover, and I went, you know what? I know nothing about that. Let's see. And it's fascinating. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So I would say if we're going with categories, go with the book that is a surprise to you, that doesn't just, you know, support all. It's not the same book that you're always reading, except, you know, by a different author with a different title. I think we get in ruts, and I think that's detrimental to our creative life. But if we're looking for the book, the books that I most recommend to others, either Stephen Pressfield's excellent War of Art.
Yes.
Not to be confused with The Art of War. That's right. A very different book.
Yes.
Or Orland and Bale, I believe it's Ted Orland and David Bale, wrote a book called Art and Fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a tremendously human, honest book about what it takes to create and be creative, and ultimately, you know, whether you identify as an artist or not, I think creativity is a way of living and being. It's not just making stuff. It's making a difference. It's making time. It's sort of a mindset. And I think those two books are, I think they're actually, despite the fact that they're kind of, you know, they're thin, they're not too meaty, they're fairly significant. And people have come back to me and said, wow, those two books made a huge difference to me.
Chandra Sandoval.
And this book is one that's really kind of near and dear to my heart because it was always on the side table of my grandpa when he would sit in the living room, in his living room. And it's called The Prophet, and I am sure you've probably heard of it, and it's by Khalil Gibran. And he gave me a copy of this book when I graduated from high school, and he wrote in it for me, and it's signed in his penmanship with his name and my grandma's name, which is really special to me. So it's special to me for that reason. But beyond that, I love this book because the prophet in here speaks really poetically about all of the things that we encounter in this lifetime. You know, he talks about love, marriage, death, joy, sorrow, beauty, all these different things that as we travel through time in our, you know, in our lifetime that we encounter. And if I can, I'm just going to read to you this little passage that he speaks to on joy and sorrow.
Yeah. Please.
It's something that I really love. He says, "When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight." And I just feel like for me, that just that little passage alone is, I mean, it's the sum of all parts for me and, you know, the journey that I've been on. So it's a short book. It's a small little book of writings and then artwork. And it's just special. So I would encourage anyone to read it and just kind of have it as like a little, you know, coffee table book. Because there's all these wonderful lessons in there about life.
Oh. Laura Wood.
Oh, gosh, I told you earlier, I really struggled with this question. And actually, I'll give you the answer in a moment. But I just want to sort of lean into why I was struggling with the question in the first place. And I think it's because the answer came to me immediately. I know what my favorite book is, the book that moves me the most, the book that I go back to. But when I thought about saying what the book was to you and to your lovely listeners, I thought, is this going to have any impact whatsoever? But you have to tell the truth, don't you? And you have to, you can't sort of say an answer just because it might have more impact than the one that's really in your heart. So anyway, my favorite book and the book I recommend people read is Little Women, which is just one of my favorite books. I love every adaptation that's been on the TV and the films and stuff. It's just so beautiful. Do you love it too?
Well, I can say I don't remember reading it. I think I had to read it for school when I was young. And I'm embarrassed to say that I don't think I fully fully finished it. But I loved the movie So, go on. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, it's
beautiful.
Yeah, you have to read it again as an adult. I think for me, I loved it since being a child. I loved this idea of the place that they lived in, just the sort of beautiful rhythm of family life and all these sisters living together was always really interesting to me. But to read it as a grown woman, you realize that there are all these strings of feminism and all these ideas running through it. And the way that the mothers and the way that the father is such an openly loving, soft, beautiful man. Just read it again as an adult. It's got so many beautiful words in it, and I'm a very sentimental person, and it's just so nostalgic. Every time I read it, it's like having like a big bowl of warm soup or something. I just love it.
Michael Ash Smith.
I was in a not a thrift shop, but kind of like an upscale antique store, you know, where it's kind of curated in a sense. And I was going through it. It's one of my favorite ones in the town where I live. And I found this Sharon Olds book, and it's called The Dead and the Living. Mm-hmm. And it was a signed copy from the poet, and they were charging some crazy price. So I left it there, and I was like, you know what? I'll sit on it. And if I come back and it's there, I'll grab it again. And it was, I went back a couple weeks later and it was still there, probably because it was expensive. And I went up to the owner. I'm like, look, I'm a fan of this place. You know who I am. This is a little bit pricey. Can you bring it down? And he did. So I was like, all right, I'll take it. So I bought it and I went home and I read it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was phenomenal. I believe it's her second book, and it was written in the early 80s. And just the intensity and the graphic visualization that it provides is just crazy. It's so far ahead of its time. Like, even now I find that poets don't write like that. They're scared to write some of the things that she wrote in that book.
Kelly Quinn.
I love this question. I think everybody, if I listened to all of your podcasts, like, I think everybody would just be like, that is one for thought. And I am very normally autobiography. So I love real stuff. I've never really been one for fiction, apart from the Harry Potters, just because it was a must. So right. I was very, the stuff I was looking at, I mean, I loved Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, books like Gil Scott Heron about music and where he came from, and I loved all this stuff. And then this little book landed on my doorstep one day. Somebody sent it to me right back when it first came out, because I had children, and it was a beautiful cover. I opened it up, and every page literally made me smile. Every illustration, every quote that was in it resonated with me somehow, and it was The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. Now, as a woman in their 40s, you just think, oh, it's a child's book. And children's books are amazing to read. I love reading them with my children. But every single page that I clicked onto with this book was like a piece of art to me. And I folded a couple of the pages over, which I love. And if anyone doesn't own it, whether you have children or not, you need to own this book.
I don't know it.
Some of my... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Amazon Prime it to your door. Immediately. It is The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse by Charlie Mackesy, I think they pronounce it. Probably the most beautiful illustrations of a children's book ever. And it's basically about these little characters that go on their journey. So rather than it being a big story where you get into it, it's every page is almost just like a quote that they're saying to each other. So the first one just says, what do you want to be when you grow up? Kind, said the boy. And this is it, with this beautiful two-page illustration. Aww. And I think it's the more that you delve into it, it's something to have a conversation with the person that you're reading, whether it's a child or not, or your partner or a friend. It opens up to conversation.
Oh my god!
And the more I read it, it's almost like, is it Sun Tzu? You know, the Art of War. I'll probably pronounce that so wrong. But I remember like my husband having it in Australia, and it sat there, and you know, he's in business and negotiations and how to defeat your enemy in the boardroom. But this, you know, epic book that everybody used to talk about, I kind of feel like this is just as epic. That's so crazy because The Art of War is like one of the most famous books of all time. Right. But the pages that I was clicking through, one of the other ones is, what do you think is the biggest waste of time? Comparing yourself to others, said the mole. And It's just the wee boy and the mole sitting on a tree branch looking at each other. And then on the opposite page, he said, I wonder if there is a school of unlearning.
Wow.
So because it just says it and it's just in quotes, you stop and you think about it on every page.
Oh, man. Kelly, this is...
Yeah, it was one of them. I actually felt this book. Like, I've read stuff and you're like, wow, I feel more knowledgeable, or I've read this and I could bring this up at dinner parties. But this book actually... like properly stopped me in my tracks and made me think about it. I feel like I'm not flicking through just like pieces of art, but proper. I think you're loving it. See, to pass this information on to somebody, I think is a gift.
Yeah.
Like just to pass this book on, and I cannot wait for you to get it and have a little flick through it.
I have to throw this side note in. Once we recorded this, I ordered this book and fell in love with it. And since that day, we have gifted it to handfuls of people. And it's something that I will continue to pass on through the years. It is beautiful. I highly recommend that book. And now, Cindy Knight.
Okay, so I had to think about this because there's so many books that I love. You know, I'm kind of a hopeless romantic. But if I had to pick the one book that I think everyone should read, it was about a decade ago. And I think I had just had my daughter. And I was struggling to remember, like, who turned me on to this book? I had no idea. But it's called Half the Sky. And it's written by it's nonfiction, and it's written by kind of a husband-wife duo, Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Woodun. And it's pretty gut-wrenching. Like, you have to kind of like dig in and decide that you're going to be taken on a journey of like, it's kind of hardcore. But the premise of it is about the oppression of women worldwide. And so when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking, gosh, what is the book that I think people should read? And it is that, because I think that's like a paramount moral challenge of our world today. And this couple visited like several developing countries where they witnessed and they met and they interviewed women who had been, you know, a part of like sex trafficking and forced prostitution and rape and all of that. And it was just... while it sounds grim, and it is grim, the stories, though, were so inspiring, because you really thought about how these women had been through these horrific things that, you know, you hear these words and you're like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. And it is, but then you think, they really went through it. Like, they witnessed this, like they experienced this, and then their stories were just so inspiring. And so from that, I began, like, I joined like Women for Women International. And then it's interesting because now my journey has taken me across into Moscow, and through the American Women's Organization, I am a part of this larger international group. And one of the projects that we're funding this year is on like some women in Africa, and it has to do with genital mutilation. And so it's just interesting how like life takes you like full circle.
Stormy Solis.
You know, that's a trick question, because there's like a million good books.
I know.
And I've heard a lot of them mentioned in your podcast. So this is not going to be a surprise to you, but it's to someone in the creative field. And that is Big Magic, of course.
Yes.
Because
me too.
It has changed my life. And
yep.
Probably had I not read that in that moment with the napkin, I may not have felt the same. But it definitely solidified that thought, and it made me leap when I was terrified.
Zoe Wittering.
So the one book I think is Maya Angelou's autobiography or memoirs, however you like to call it, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, which I think lots of people have probably read, but I've reread and reread, and I think everybody should read this book. It's just, she was such an amazing woman, but the books are, I think, historically insightful and just blow my mind as the amount that she achieved with her life, and her resilience is just extraordinary.
Terry Hofford.
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. But you only have to read it at the right time in your life.
True.
It'll only come along when you need it. And when somebody is reading it next to you, that's the sign that you're supposed to read it. Or if you see it in a bookstore and you feel a calling, like that's, you need to read it. Like I've given that book out like 7 times. Like I buy it again and then I'll be like, you need this in your life right now. And it is the book that changed the course of my whole life. For sure. Yeah. Like that is like one of the ones that made me break up with my boyfriend, move provinces. Like, I just want to read it again now that I'm talking about it. But I'm an avid reader as well. I'm going to. But that one's really good. The other one in regards to body image that I recommend everyone read to get a different perspective than the one we've always been fed is Body Respect by Dr. Linda Bacon because yes, that is their name.
Emma Golding.
It's called Homegoing, and it is the debut work by an author called Yaa Gyasi. A, it's beautifully written, and B, it's super educational without feeling like you are being taught, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it travels through, this is going to sound expansive, it travels through time and space over several centuries and continents, and it tells a story somewhat disjointedly, but it's all interconnected, of a black family, their origins in Africa through tribal villages, then through the slave trade, moving some of them to the Americas, and the different lives that the sections of the family take. So the ones that are left in Africa go in a certain direction, and the ones that are sold into slavery go into another direction. And it's looking at how the impact of slavery and different things since then have had on these people's lives and where they end up. And it's just so beautifully written. And I learned so much from it at a time when I wanted to learn more about those areas of his history, but I am not a history book reader. That's not my thing. I like fiction. And it was perfect. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Ashley Marston.
The last book that I read was the Love Languages book, the Five Love Languages or whatever. And it's just such an easy read. It's quick. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Four Agreements or whatever. Like it's just a short book. It's an easy read. I read it on our Mexican vacation, which also seems like a lifetime ago. and I feel like I would definitely recommend that everybody read that. I also have read the one for kids.
Oh, yeah. I just got that, actually. I was just going to say that.
And it's just really helped me in all of my relationships. Just figuring out what people actually need and how it's not the same as what you need.
Yeah.
Is such a huge but very simple idea.
Lauren Phillips.
Okay, so I feel like I'm gonna say the book that probably many people would say here. So but it's definitely Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Oh, and yes, I love it.
Oh, it's soul shaking, right? I had
4 times I've read it.
Epic. The only other book that I could probably read over and over, like I could read that one over and over again, but I've read, what was it? Anthony Kiedis's biography. Oh, what was it called? Scar Tissue.
Ooh.
That was,
I love biographies.
And I'm not even a reader, but I read that one 4 times. Yes. Yeah, that was a really good one. And I think that was just really relatable because he's just such a screw up, you know? But and I was like, oh, hey,
I'm vibing with this.
Yeah, great book. But I did, you know, for this particular question, I think the answer would be, yeah, definitely Big Magic. And that's because she just really... she inspires you to grab your ideas by the balls and just do it.
Yeah.
I love her. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, yeah, she just kind of encourages you to seize the expectations that limit your craft and, you know, it eliminates your judgment on yourself. And just reading that just made me go out and feel so ready for the world.
Sarah Krieg.
Okay, so this is where I feel like I just have to be my true self and let you know, Leanna, I have not read a book since I've had babies. So we're going on like 8 years not picking up a book. And I'm being honest. I was like, I used to love to read. I feel like I read a lot, but I also have no memory anymore. So I couldn't pinpoint one that was like, that was the one. And so I was telling Dan, oh my gosh, I haven't read a book. Well, why don't you just be yourself and be honest? You love the book of every musical ever written because the script part of a musical is called a book. So I was like, you're right. So my favorite book would be the Tony Award winning book, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, probably that libretto, that book right there. But no, aww. I even in my 20s, I read plays all the time.
Did you spend all your days in the Samuel French bookstore like I did on Sunset?
Girl, you know it. Well, I wasn't as cool as you on Sunset. I was in North Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, they had another location. I forgot.
But yeah. But yes, I used to love reading plays all the time.
Chloe Lodge.
I read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. About 4 years ago, actually. It was at a very key point in my life when I was going through some quite difficult stuff, which we might talk about in a little while. And I'd also, prior to reading her book, been through about 4 years of deep doubt in myself and my art and my journey. And what I really feel about her words in that book is I feel she's so reassuring. She gives you permission to be creative, to just do the work all the time, keep going. And also the acknowledgement that magic doesn't happen unless you're actually working. Like, unless you're actually sort of going through the rhythm of creating and looking and seeing and understanding and just doing the work, magic doesn't have the opportunity to show up. And I think that's one really big thing for me, is that I kept thinking that, like, I was in this big doubting phase and I was like, well, surely at some point this magic is just going to like sprinkle down on me. And it wasn't really until I kind of acknowledged it and just said, actually, I just need to keep doing the work, just keep showing up and doing the work. And I feel that her book, I don't think there's any magic spells in there, but I definitely think that there are a lot of words that help many, many creatives. And it doesn't, not even just photographers, you know, writers, painters, you know, all movie artists. Directors, everything, all sorts of artists. Yeah. I think it's a brilliant book.
Sunny Mabry.
I really like this book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I just feel like no matter what belief you ascribe to, there's some important bits of reasoning you can couple that with. And C.S. Lewis just had this particular gift for conveying those simple truths, you know. It's just very, I don't know, I'm reading it now, actually. I've never read it until now, and I'm just blown away by it. It's so good.
It sounds interesting. It's Mere Christianity?
Mere, yeah. M-E-R-E, Christianity.
Okay. And there you have it. Those are all the books that every guest has spoken about in the last, I don't know, what is it, a year and a half? No, I think it's almost 2 years. Holy cow. Well, I started recording episodes, I think in like June or something of 2020, but I didn't air them until I think November. But anyway, doesn't matter. I don't even know if anybody listens to the end part of this podcast ever, so I could just be talking to myself at this point. So yeah, I have nothing else to say besides, until we meet again, stay curious.